Welcome to Rewear the Fashion Pulpit, a podcast aimed at reintroducing new language around the way we speak about clothes. I'm your host, Singrin, and I use she, her pronouns. In each episode, we explore what it means to be a part of the fashion system and how we can be more intentional in the ways we forge a personal relationship with our clothes. Today's guest on the podcast discusses with me something I hold close to my heart. Before listening to this episode, I highly encourage you to read Esther's blog post titled Small is Beautiful to better understand her ideas, thoughts, and intention. And before I play you the interview, I'm going to read off an excerpt from her blog post, which I really resonate with and I think sets the tone for the rest of the episode. So she says, "I write to explore the smallness, indeed, that the antidote to fast-paced consumerism, big brand domination and reliance may not be to make these small shops big. It's not to make thrifting or secondhand trendy and fresh and new, but it's really to change the way we think about consumption, production, shopping, ownership, to change our relationship to small, to re-envision the way we engage and live in this very material world." This episode is brought to you by Podcast Mate. Podcast Mate produces podcasts for iconic brands and market leaders. They do the heavy lifting for you so you don't have to. All you gotta do is press record. I know, having a branded podcast is one of the best ways to establish thought leadership and brand communications. It's another platform where you can communicate your brand values, have authentic relationships with your audience, and show your brand's personality while delivering value through quality content. The struggle is that's going to be additional work for your marketing team. And really, who has the time to do all the legwork, research and production when you don't have an internal team who's an expert at that? You don't want your team to have to spread themselves thinly, right? You don't want to overwhelm them by adding more tasks on their plate, tasks where they don't have experience in, where they aren't an expert of. You know how the best companies handle this? They delegate the work to specialized agencies who are experts at producing high-quality branded podcasts. That way, you know for sure that your podcast is of consistent quality with everything that you do with your company's marketing efforts. That's exactly what we did with our own podcast. Rewear is an original production by Podcast Mate, and they do all the heavy lifting for us. Post-production, art direction, sound design, audio engineering, and content repurposing. Don't overwhelm your marketing team by adding more onto their plate. Delegate your company's podcast production to the team that does it best, so your team can focus on doing what they do best. Reach out to Podcast Mate so they can help you get the ball rolling. They will make your podcast production an easy breezy journey. They do the heavy lifting for you so you don't have to. All you gotta do is press record. Email them at nash@thepodcastmate.co. That's nash@thepodcastmate.co, or check out thepodcastmate.co. Hi, Esther. Welcome to Rewear at the Fashion Pulpit. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday morning. Do you want to tell us a bit more about yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. My name is Esther. My pronouns are she, her. And I think I'll introduce myself by saying that I'm a wearer and lover of all clothing. And I'm someone that's deeply interested in thinking about how we consume, how we buy things, and how we interact with the things that we buy on a very like personal and intimate level. I'm currently in my room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm enjoying the fact that I get to enjoy the morning sun because of this podcast, I woke up much earlier. And I'm wearing actually this handmade top. I made it out of a gingham fabric that I thrifted. Ooh. And yeah, I was really proud of this because it's actually like one of my first pieces that is completely handmade. Usually I do like very basic like cropping and stuff like that, but yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Wait, I'm trying to think like what else am I wearing, like Nothing much.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Very normal shorts, just okay. A very normal linen shorts. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, let's jump straight into it. We've got a lot of exciting things to talk about. So I think my first question for you would be, how would you describe your relationship with wear, or how do you relate to that word even? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the phrasing of this question is so telling, because I think that if you asked me this maybe 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I wouldn't have known how to answer that question, because
yeah.
I feel like even the word wear has never crossed my mind. If you ask me where do I shop or what do I buy, I can list you a bunch of places, because I see them everywhere in malls, and that was what I thought clothing meant. Like the clothing, I only thought about clothing in terms of how it looked, and also what I felt was trendy at the moment and would help me fit in with my friends. Yeah, so I feel like but on hindsight then, I would say that wear was a very social thing. It was something that brought me a lot of social security. So I bought a lot of things that made me feel kind of connected to my friends in that moment. Yeah, and shopping was definitely a very social activity. So these are not bad memories, you know, trying on clothes together as a group of friends and stuff like that. Right. I think that was definitely how I related to clothing. Yeah, it's something that connected me to like my friends back then. And often that also meant following trends, making sure that I looked a certain way, an idealized way.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think slowly though, like my relationship became less about buying stuff and more about thinking about wear itself, which to me is really about how do I feel in the clothes that I'm in? Like, how does my body feel? Mm-hmm. But also, how does my mind feel in the clothes I'm wearing?
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes like the point where I actually start relating to my clothes on a personal level. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it really started from just not being able to fit into things properly in fast fashion stores, for example. Because, like, I feel like, you know, like, talking about body sizing is, like, definitely a very sensitive thing. And I wouldn't say that I have a very different body sizing than the usual mass crowd. But the thing is that it was still so difficult to find stuff that fit me. And that was just like my personal experience back then when I was a growing pubescent teen and everything, you know. And I remember just feeling frustrated every time I was with my friends because I couldn't fit into anything in the stores, like, you know. And I also felt that things like fell apart really easily. And I remember just being like really frustrated because my pocket money was being spent on all these things.
Right.
So actually that is out of that frustration that I first started shopping secondhand. When I first went to a secondhand store, I was like so amazed at how freeing the space felt, because there was no billboards and nothing telling me to buy anything.
Right.
So I was like at first really lost, and the first thing I did was of course to just touch and browse everything. So I think that was the first time I connected to wearing clothes to touch, and I felt like that was a very important aspect of my journey because it introduced me to another aspect of clothes that was not just visual. So from there I started getting into thrifting more for myself than any social cause or anything. It was just I feel better now. Like, wow, okay. And I found clothes that fit me because there were just so many options. And I'm very privileged to say that, of course, because, I think that there's still issues about sizing, even in thrift stores.
I think it's the shift in mindset and then this new perspective that wearing more intentionally can help to bring. Almost it's the slowing down, it's the scaling down also, and not just in terms of where you buy from, but how you buy, how you wear them, and this whole process of from acquiring a piece of clothing, for instance, and then seeing it through to, you know, the end of use, and then what do you do after that?
Actually, just to add like on that, because I think I started by saying that shopping was a very social activity for me in malls, right? And I want to say that actually I found that same sense of community even when I'm shopping small, but in a very different way, where if I'm shopping at a thrift store with my friends, there's this like great sense of like connection when you see how different your styles are really when there's such different things like attract them in a shop. And I don't feel like it's a lesser experience of connection, because I think that definitely some of my friends do tell me like, oh, but shopping is such like an important part of like my friend group's activities. Yeah. And I tell them like, but actually going through shopping is super fun, because like there's also an element of connection there where you're really like knowing each other differently. And I think clothes is really like it's a connection thing. Like that's why I really believe in wear and clothes, talking about these things and talking about connection, because I think that people connect over clothes and like things like swapping. They are also to me ideas of doing it small, because they're doing it with people and having like these relationships be the forefront of it. Yeah.
And I think this is a good time to bring in the blog post that you wrote. Small is beautiful. And I think you mentioned or you were trying to explore if the antidote to bigness is smallness. So I think you described an experience that you had in a shoe shop, and how the owner of the shop related to you in a way where it's just as natural as a human to human experience can get, and it's undisturbed or not sort of shaped by the e-commerce algorithm, for instance, or the hyper stimulation of senses in a fast fashion shop, for instance. So I know we had a chat previously, and also that we've come to a conclusion that there is no answer to this question, and that it can just be a living question. But I thought I wanted to just ask you if you have any thoughts, any new thoughts about this question. Yeah.
Actually, I've been thinking a lot about these two words ever since like thinking about this question, like the word smallness versus bigness, right? And seeing them as sort of like contradictory or mutually exclusive forces that like kind of pull against each other. But I think it's like I was reflecting about the idea of smallness and why we use this word when we're talking about this intentional form of intentional mindful consumption that we're striving towards. I feel that smallness is actually what really allows us to embrace the wider, the bigger world around us. And I say that mainly because when I think of smallness, I think of groundedness, coming back to oneself and also what's directly around oneself. So like coming back to what do you already have, right? Because we always talk about that when we start, what do you already have? Who are the people around you? And that could be friends, family, or your neighborhood, right? What's directly in your neighborhood, things like that. And I feel that in that groundedness, when you are able to acknowledge your positionality, and that really also includes things like your gender, your race, your sexuality, your economic class, just like really just, yes, this is me, like this is where I stand, a very small dot in the huge scheme of things. I feel like that actually allows you to better embrace like the larger web of things without feeling completely just lost in like the hugeness of, the bigness of like things like systems, corporations and things like that. Because when I think about like our like society's sort of like veneration of bigness, right? I feel like the idea of bigness that we have is not this really all-encompassing interconnected web of things that I realize is actually also big, right? Like what we want to do is also to see how epically, big like our universe is. Universe is a big word. But I think the bigness that we are like both frustrated by is the bigness that is actually just a puffing up of a very small group of people, actually. Right. Like, right? Until like this small group of people just can't see anyone else because they're puffed up. They're like on a pedestal. They're like, right. This is all there is.
Yeah.
Or, and then on the converse side, this sort of bigness is crushing for like the rest of society, because I think it's precisely this bigness that we are like, oh no, you know, like we need to protect ourselves. So then it shrinks people. Like, I think there's definitely this sense of that people are like, you know, so overwhelmed by the bigness of the world. They're like, I will only take care of myself. I'll only take care of like my immediate self and like protect self-preservation. You know, I feel like it swings one person into this very like selfish self-preservation mode, which is of course again not their fault, because yeah. It's sort of again survival, right?
Mm.
But yeah, so when I say smallness, I think with back to the blog post, I felt like, yeah, what you said, it's like a breath of fresh air, like, wow, like, yeah, I'm interacting with this shop owner, like human to human, you know. I think it's something that is very precious, like in a system that I just described, right, where it's yeah. like so about competition, self-preservation. It's really nice to just really be honest with each other. You know, shop owner is like, yes, this is my livelihood, you know, like, of course I want to sell you this pair of shoes. Yeah, but I also want to make sure that it fits you right. And he like made me try on so many different pairs of shoes to make sure that it was really the one that fit my feet in the right way, because he had many years of experience. And I remember just thinking like, wow, like this guy, he owned this shop for 30 plus years. Like this is his home, you know, he lives right above it and things like that. So it's just feeling like, yeah, there's this world I'm connected to, like his small world of like tradesmen and his own family and his own shoe business, and like me coming in, feeling just very connected to this like slightly wider world while I buy these pair of shoes. Yeah.
Right.
And definitely, you know, like I'm just personally very interested in like things of artisanship, things related to artisanship and craftsmanship. And it's because of people like these actually that made me realize like, wow, this is a whole world out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I feel very comforted by your words. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I think maybe then this is also a good time to speak about, you know, this new thing that you're doing. This shop directory, right? This small shop directory and this heartland directory. And
yeah.
Also, do you want to talk about, you know, this Telegram channel that you run? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And so, I guess what you're doing with the Telegram channel and the directory is an extension of, you know, everything that you've described earlier.
I think that's a good segue into the small little things I'm doing. Like so the Telegram channel started very much on a whim, because I felt very comfortable with the idea of a Telegram channel. It felt very intimate and personal. Like, I'm just talking to a bunch of friends, you know, how like certain people have their own like Telegram groups that they chat and stuff like that. So it started off because a lot of my friends were just asking me about thrifting, actually, literally just about thrifting. And people just seem to not like be able to access certain things that I felt was very simple for me to access. Like, for example, certain carousel shops that I found and got cool stuff from, they were like, what? You know? So I was just like, okay, I'll just start a Telegram channel. I just want to share like my love for secondhand, my love for shopping small, and just all things in between. Okay. So I just started that, and then I posted the link onto my Instagram, and I was just like, hey guys, you guys want to join this, just join. Yeah. I didn't think too much about it, honestly. That's why all the intentionality of it was really in just doing something fun that would include my friends and include people who cared about things like that, you know. But I think once the channel actually started, right, I was like, wait, like, wow. I mean, this is like a point of connection, you know, for me. Like, I can actually talk to people about way more than just like a bunch of, I can send them way more than just a bunch of links to shops, right? So I think that's when I started to like set some intentions on my Telegram channel. Because I think I really learned a lot from like that, like, just like this idea of setting intentions, you know, like even for small spaces like this, I think it's so important. So I kind of set an intention that this Telegram channel would be an open journal of like my journey in shopping small and secondhand, and how this actually brings me closer to the wider world. Like, because this is something I believe in for really long, but that's the first time I think it's in a Telegram channel that I first articulated it. Like, actually, why do I love thrifting so much? It's not just because like I get a cool wardrobe, but it's really because I feel very connected to like the world around me. The political issues that I believe are like, you know, really related to even a thing like thrifting, like, you know, like intersectionality, so many things. Like, I feel like it would be an injustice for me to not list them out, so I just won't list everything. Yeah. But I think I wanted to show people that, this is linked, lah. So that's how I started it. And from there, I think I just sort of started documenting my journey. In a very as honest a way as I could. So I think for the Telegram channel, I did mention to you that I wanted to keep it small. I wanted to keep it within people that I knew that my voice had a stake in their lives. Because I think I never saw myself as an influencer. Not that that's a bad thing. I think it's just that there's a connotation on that, that you are speaking on a pedestal. And I didn't want to speak on a pedestal. I wanted to just speak as a friend, as like a loved one that's just like caring about these things and, you know, people caring about them because they care about me. And I think it's just learning to take up space in this very circular way. You know, this is again about smallness and bigness, you know, because you know the world is big. So you like, just take root in your small circles. And like, I feel like that's a very comforting, like I really like what you say, like a comforting way of navigating the hugeness of the world and the pressingness and the urgency. Pressingness is not what? The pressing and the urgency of so many issues that are like bombarding us every day, you know, like I needed the Telegram channel at the point of time, I think. It just kept me grounded, you know.
Right.
And
I think I also wanted to add that I first got to know you through the Telegram channel when Tammy invited me into the to join. I think she sent a link or something. I don't really know how this Telegram thing works, but anyway, I just like managed to join her. Okay. And then and I think what's really struck me was, yes, you were sharing about where you could find, like, I guess, interesting things from. And you weren't just sharing about clothing. You were also sharing about jewelry, about homeware and other things that you can find secondhand. I think on top of that, it was also the way you sort of spoke about your feelings and how you described your thought process of bringing something home or buying something. And that was when I was like, wow, okay, so yes. Because, you know, the fact that you were sharing it with, like you said, a close-knit, a really tight group of people when you visited TFT, and that was before we even knew each other, right? And you came into the shop and I think you shared about us on the Telegram channel after, and I was like, oh my god, because what you said, okay, I'm just gonna read it out. Okay, I have my phone here. And you said, I like how it still feels different from walking into other fast fashion stores where sales and signs scream to buy, and where there's a very targeted way of laying out clothes. And then you said, instead, it's actually calming and encourages very slow, restful browsing. Yeah, I think when you mentioned restful browsing, I was like, wow, this is how you can describe us. And I was so intrigued by the way you sort of used your words to describe the TFP space. And it was very refreshing because I feel like these were ways that I felt about TFP even before I started working here, but I had no words to describe it. And you said, it reminds me of the way space can work for us or against us, and how important the little things really are. And I was like, right, yes. Thank you for putting that in.
Thank you for all you guys do at TFP.
And I thought it was like I mentioned, it was a really refreshing perspective and way to describe how we can sort of relate to the shopping activity how it can be reframed almost. And we can unlearn how, the shopping narrative was fed to us since we were growing up, and how, yeah, yes, how small things can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Thank you.
And thank you. Yeah.
Speak about this, the directory that you are working on.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So the directory started as an idea as well. I think completely separate from the Telegram channel. As I mentioned earlier, I think I've always been very interested in the idea of tradesmen, like just tradesmen who have built their lives in a certain trade or craft or skill. And it started actually when I first visited Paya Lebar industrial complex. Okay. And I used to really, really enjoy exploring and just poking my nose in like random places. And that was actually the first time I got introduced to this idea of like, wow, like this is actually a small family-built business sort of thing. Because I would stumble upon like very different sort of businesses in the same complex. So one of them might be doing like metal etching signs. So like he told me, oh, you know, I've been in this trip for 30 years, you know, I had to evolve alongside the metal, you know, and I was just like, wow, you know, it's just crazy to me that, you know, someone can devote their life to something for so long.
Mm.
And in the actual shop / their office, I think you can really see traces of their personality in the space. And that was just something that really drew me into the space in the first place, even though it was, you know, chaotic, messy, dusty, etc. I think it was this sort of like very transparent way their lives and their craft intermingled that really like drew me in, because I guess like actually something that I remember we wanted to discuss was also this idea that we don't want to romanticize smallness.
Yeah.
And I think there's this idea of smallness that is very like, oh, we will stumble upon this rare gem in a back alleyway, in a hole in the corner, and we'll find these like beautiful things, which that sometimes happens. It's not a bad thing. It's sort of more, but what I don't really like or appreciate about the narrative is that it doesn't highlight that these are like livelihoods we're talking about, like whole complex lives. People who are like also working for their survival in our society, you know, and that this is not just like a passion project for them. I think that there's this tendency to be like, oh, you must love what you do. And often they don't tell me that. They just say, but this is all I know, or this is my whole life, which is a different ballgame altogether, you know. And I think it's like, I really like always remind myself of that. Like, I'm coming in as an interested party. I'm definitely passionate about this, but I'm not them. They are like people who built their life on this. And I think there's always a need for me to sort of remind myself of that as well when I'm like gushing over their things and and wanting to even sort of like when I want to introduce them to other people, I also don't want to sort of romanticize their story and be like, oh, they fell into this tree because of XYZ. But it's really that, you know, some of them would tell me that, oh, in my village or kampong back then, this was the only thing that we were taught. So, you know, and then it's sort of like they go into the job, and what happens is that they learn to appreciate it over time because it feeds them, it raises their children, you know. This is like, yeah. So okay, so I think the main thing I want to highlight from these anecdotes is just the intimacy with business. Like, because we don't think of businesses and we don't think of, you know, shopping or like this idea of trade as an intimate thing, but it is an intimate thing for them, because, you know, this is like a whole different way of relating to a business as opposed to maybe how a big corporation will relate to a business, right? That would just be like, okay, what is the most efficient? What is the most, you know? And it's very, very different. So that's when I was like, okay, I do want to start something that at the very least documents all these small different shops, because unfortunately it is something that is majority an aging sort of thing. It's definitely something that many people see as a dying thing, although I would beg to differ, because there's still a lot of life in there. Like, I really do believe that. And so the directory started from just wanting to document that. And then after that, I thought of how wouldn't it be interesting if I could make something that would allow people to access it easily, where they could browse different small shops like this according to like location and according to what they need. Because the whole point is like, I want people to explore what's around them. I don't want people to just flock all to one shop because it's cool and stuff like that. So that's when I reached out to actually my Telegram channel and asked, hey, I have this idea. Does anyone want to jump on board? And two lovely people reached out to me after that and we started working on it. So I'm hoping when this podcast episode airs, actually our website will have come up ready because we are planning to launch it like by the end of October-ish. And
oh, definitely. I'm really excited.
I realized that. Yeah, but I'm really excited about the directory.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Chasing Flow State is brought to you by PodcastMate. They produce podcasts for iconic brands and market leaders. If you like how this podcast is produced, reach out to PodcastMate. They will walk you through the podcast creation from scratch to launch. Visit their website at thepodcastmate.co.
And I think I wanted to touch on the point that you made about romanticization of things. And I think, very often I think because of social media and because of what the narratives that are presented to us are, they sort of frame secondhand or smallness in a way that I think comes from a good place where you try to differentiate yourself from, like, say, a bigger corporation or a brand, right? But I think we also cannot forget that as much as, you know, shopping secondhand is a good alternative to buying firsthand and buying fast fashion, we also have to remember that the secondhand industry in itself is also a trade. It is also a business. It's not charity. Yeah. It's not... We can't... risk oversimplifying the fact that secondhand is the only solution, for instance. And I think when we think about secondhand, we should also be thinking about the larger picture, which is that, okay, where are the other clothes that are not, like, say, bought by these by people or that are curated in these small thrift stores? So where do all of these clothes go then, which is very often exported to other countries, right? And then have other people deal with our waste. Which is obviously, I mean, this is a whole conversation for a different day.
Yes. But
yeah, I think it's just to remember that as much as the secondhand industry can create, I guess, new opportunities and new solutions, it's also, very much still entrenched in this system. So I think, I just wanted to make that caveat, you know, just to
for sure. In fact, like, I feel like I have this illuminating realization that I guess shouldn't be that illuminating, but it's sort of the fact that it should be even a problem that we have to resort to secondhand, you know, like, right? Like, as much as I love it, like, I mean, the thing is that secondhand should never have been the alternate path that is the only path, but it seems like it is because of how I feel like we've been pushed to a corner. That's how I feel like, you know, by this sort of, like, narrative of consumption that's always about like new and overconsumption and overproduction. The fact that secondhand is almost like the easy solution or something you know, people say as though like it's gonna solve everything. Like, oh, just because I donated them secondhand, I don't have to worry about it anymore. Yeah. But actually we should be worried that we're relying so much on it, you know, because I think that it's sort of like, I feel like, yes, we should celebrate secondhand, but also we realize like, hey, the fact that this is the only thing we're relying on is a problem, you know? And also, I feel like that's a,
And also just the fact that, like, if we think about it, where do secondhand clothes come from? Like, first-hand clothes, right?
Exactly.
it's because at TFP we see clothing from everywhere, right? So we have like truly well-loved vintage pieces that have been in our mother's or our grandmother's wardrobes for the longest time, you know? And then when they finally decide that they want to start swapping, or like their granddaughters or their daughters bring them in, we're like, wow, this is such a valuable and, you know, what a good find, what a good gem sort of thing. But then we also see clothing that are from fast fashion brands. So we have increasingly more pieces from, say, Shein, from these smaller fast fashion brands that I shall not name. And yeah, so if you start thinking about it, it's a whole ecosystem, right? And the industry is not guilty of it also. So I think it's remembering that like you said earlier, that everything is connected and there's no one solution. Yeah. And I think we also don't have to put it on ourselves to have to come up with a solution or like a one size fits all sort of solution. Cause it's not on us. I think like you said, it's also about community building. It's about through clothing, almost through wear. So how we speak about fashion, how we buy, how we wear, how we use. So having answers is probably overrated at this point.
Like, one size fits all is capitalism anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So we don't want that. We don't want a one size fits all, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you, I think, I don't have an answer to this and I don't know if you do, but how do we actively, I guess, work towards a place where we're not affected by, say, this compelling need to consume or to sort of have trends guide us would you know, say, not having all of this become like a utopia that we dream of, and in this utopia, are we like, do all wearers have agency in deciding where they want to get their things from, or like have a say in this? Yeah. Actually, I don't even know if I'm making sense at this point. It's just a combination of many thoughts that I tried to string together in one sentence.
I resonate with those thoughts. Yeah. Let me sort of think that through. Would you say that it's sort of asking like, is it even possible for us to work towards that place where all of us have agency? Or rather, is it... Yeah.
I think yes. Or how? Yeah. How do we cultivate? How do we build? How do we develop?
Right.
Thank you for summarizing my thoughts so succinctly.
I feel like that is also in my brain. It's just floating there. How? So I think like I'm thinking of this question from a very personal angle and also from a more objective, like larger scale angle. Because how do we work towards collective agency in fashion where we have a stake in it? I think on a personal level, I would say that it is really taking yourself out of that context where buying is the only option or solution. Yeah. And it sounds very simple, but I think it's a challenge, you know, it's a challenge. Like when I feel like there's something missing, like even, I'm not talking about clothes, just anything, like a utility, like, you know, I don't have a shower head or something, okay? My first instinct is like, I want to go shopping and like freaking find the cheapest one, okay? And get it tomorrow. Like, you know, that's just like, that's how I think. That's like actually how my brain is trained to think, you know?
Yeah.
Wow, that was very specific. But I think having to actively resist that is like, can I just not buy one? Can I like just get one from like my extended family? Because that's what my mom does. Okay, so she's missing anything in the house. She's like, I'm gonna wait, dude. I'm just gonna wait until your auntie or your uncle, right, gives me their secondhand one. And she's just doing that, right? Because she's actually trained to do that. Like, you realize that we are like these two individuals, like me and her, we're not saying like one is evil, me, the overconsumer, and she's the saintly like secondhand mom. But like you know, it's just that we have trained to just think in very different directions. And I feel like that's very encouraging to me, you know. It's that, yeah, there's a way to just like rewire that neural path that thinks that buying is the only option. And I think on a second related note, back to the personal thing, I think when I say plucking myself out of the context, I literally just mean that I just don't go to malls, you know, like for a while. Like, I remind myself how drained I feel when I go there. And then I just say like, okay, I just don't want to go there for a while. And then I just explore these like new ways of like relating to the world, like organizing a swap party with my friends and things like that. Yeah. And and also touching my wardrobe, like just like going back to my own things, like the things I already have, and just like touching and feeling them, and just be reminded that, well, these clothes exist beyond like a magazine spread or Instagram page, because they have tactility, they have like physicality, they have movement to them that, you know, like I want to explore and know my clothes in this way. Yeah. So I mentioned these things mainly because like sometimes I feel these things just bring it back to like what we can do like on day-to-day level. But I think like on the other note, when I say like I want to do it on a like answer this question on a wider scale, I think that it's very much about also constantly reminding myself that shopping small and secondhand is not enough, but it has to be allied with political action. Like that's just something that I want to bring in, because I think that too often we think that we're saving the world by shopping small and secondhand, but we are literally not. And like again, that thing, like if this is our only solution, then we are really screwed, you know. Like I definitely feel that all these things I do, like the fun things I do that I first mentioned, right, I want that to give us the energy, the joy, you know, to really fight like on a political front. When I say political, everyone's just like, whoa, it's a big word, but it really just means like being involved in asking for different things, like in the realm, aka signing petitions or like, you know, holding brands accountable and just always making sure that your anger and your dissatisfaction with the way things are is known. And that's very draining. So, you know, the second part is very draining, right? The first part I mentioned is really fun. And I think they should be really like coming together, because we need the joy and we need that camaraderie that we feel, and yeah, that to fuel this this very long, arduous fight sometimes. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. You've also managed to answer my last question, which is how, you know, you would reimagine the fashion system and how, I guess, we can see the healing of the system of the world through fashion. And you have like managed to shed light on that, and I really appreciate it. And I think it's something that's still pretty fresh and new. The fact that, you know, we see fashion as more than just consumption. That fashion can take other forms, like say appreciating fashion or consuming fashion critically through like either reading books or reading articles or listening to this podcast, for instance. Good on you if you are. And then, you know, like I don't know, like going to museums, looking at exhibitions or on fashion, on dress, on clothing, and just, I guess, having this different perspective. I think this is like a recurring theme, right, of this entire episode, which is just taking on a different perspective and how you look at the clothes that you wear.
For sure.
Yeah.
Even having a conversation like this, for example, I think that's also a way of engaging, right, with fashion. Yeah.
And I think very often, I think the first thing that comes to mind for a lot of people is, okay, how do I, because like if you go on, like if you read articles, a lot of the articles say that, you know, the sort of keyword that you put in like search engines for like say the word sustainable or the words sustainable fashion have shot up, like it's exponentially increased, like how much people are searching about things like that, either to like where to buy or about how the industry is damaging the environment and also exploiting its people. And I think, beyond that, we can expand our like how we see fashion, which is beyond consumption. And just seeing it as an alternative way, like the only, like you don't have to, like, in fact, I think
how you like the
opposite of buying, right? Which is how you don't buy, how you not buy.
All right, how do you don't buy? Yeah.
It's also a very telling way of, which, and I think that is a more inclusive way of bringing this conversation into the attention of more people, because a lot of people, when it comes to speaking about sustainable fashion or sustainability, when it comes to fashion, is that, oh, but I don't even consume that much, or like, you know. And but that doesn't exclude you from the conversation, because you also wear clothing. You also have articles of clothing in your room, in your wardrobe.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean that, you know, you don't have a, you're not a participant in the fashion system, for instance.
I really, really love those points. How do you not buy? And I remember this thing that we were previously talking about when we were talking about how we often buy to buy into a certain look, right? A certain aesthetic. But then we were thinking that the converse is actually that, you know, the thing of clothes wearing as like a way of living, right? Which a way of like life, which is actually, you know, that's basically how to not buy, right? That means all the times you're not spending money. It's just how you're living day to day, I feel, and how you're interacting with the world around you. And I also think that that's really related to why both of us really believe in talking about fashion. Because fashion, like you said, is something that no one is not a part of, right? We're all wearers of clothing. And I think it's something that brings one back into the embodied sense of being, you know, because the actual act of putting on clothes each day, it reminds you that you're human. It reminds you that, yes, you are you also, and then the small things that you do will also like be a part of you, the way you express yourself to the world, so there's this exchange immediately. And I think that it's because of that really interesting, really like one of my favorite aspects of fashion is precisely that. And I think that's why I do believe that it's also a starting point to deeper conversations into how we envision a different world, you know, how do we envision a different world where we relate to each other and the environment in a different way.
Yes, what a good note to end on, I think. Very hopeful, not discouraging at that. Yes.
Yes, I think that hope is important.
Yeah,
especially now.
Exactly, yes. And I think here's to more conversations, you know, between everybody in their own circles about habits of wear and you know, how the act of repeating wear, for instance, or, you know, just these different aspects of rewearing can create ripples of change. Hopefully this means that, you know, more people have more conversations and inclusive conversations about sustainability and what it really means for fashion and what it really means for people who wear clothes. Yeah,
yes.
Which is almost everybody.
If you like how this podcast is produced and you want the same quality for your show, reach out to us at reach@podcastmate.co so we can talk about how to help make your podcast production an easy breezy journey. All you gotta do is press record. Podcastmate produces podcasts for iconic brands and market leaders. You can also check out our website at podcastmate.co. That is podcastmate.co. Whenever you're ready, we'll be here for you.
I had a really good time speaking to Esther on this episode, chatting about our personal experiences and relationships of consumption and ways of relating to wear and clothes. It was a very refreshing conversation and I think an accurate representation of how I see and relate to the work that I do. This episode is special because I think there isn't a specific call to action. I just hope we sit in these thoughts and let them ferment and rethink or to even start thinking about our relationship with clothing. I hope you enjoyed this raw, honest, and open conversation between two wearers of clothing, one that doesn't have definitions or answers, only our perspective of the world through how we see and reimagine it. We would like to thank our friends over at Podcast Mate who produced this podcast. Production Manager, Chair Abora. Creative and Marketing Lead, Michael Alonso. Video Producer, Ian Velasquez. Sound Design and Podcast Producer, Lemuel Morata. Executive Director, Nesh Maiwela. Rewears created by The Fashion Pulpit, a production in partnership with Podcast Mate. Hosted by Sing Yun Shin.